way.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime!
My fly is open.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the strolling, go to DLNTS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1051 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
I'm mostly here.
And Dave's not here. Anyway, you had asked me, Joel, did I fix the stapler? Of course I fixed the stapler. I wasn't gonna be beaten by that. Now
you went out and bought another one, didn't you?
No. I did. I fixed it, and I brought it up to my wife, and I'm like, there's still something like not right about it. Like, it looked like it would function, but the two parts, right? There's the base and then the stapler part, and I think when whoever the person who took it apart to try and fix it for, well, I don't know. The whole thing started because apparently there was a staple jammed in it. And you could have just used any number of tools to get that staple out of there without having to disassemble the entire stapler. So I don't know why the entire stapler was disassembled. But there's obviously some parts missing. And it was whatever component that is between the base and the actual stapler part, the top of it, where if you're just using it, generally speaking, like the stapler is about maybe half an inch off of the base. And you slide the paper under there, push it down, you're good to go. And then if you want to, like, staple on a bulletin board, you pull it open from the base, and then it's generally, like, 180 degrees right there. It's just one straight line instead of it being, like, an alligator mouth. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But whatever that component in there that would snap in to hold it onto the base and keep it about half an inch above the base, and also that you would just release that or whatever to do the bulletin board stapling, that component wasn't there. I don't know what that's called. I could not even see what that component should look like on any of the pictures I looked on the Swingline 747 model, which was kind of annoying. I wasn't sure whether one of the springs that was in, of the three springs that were there was part of that component, but I, having put it all back together, I don't think it was. As to whether it works, I assume it does. My wife was thankful. She said she'll probably buy a new one and use this one as a backup. anyway, so because of that missing component, I guess, you know, when you're doing a lot of stapling, if you have to lift the stapler off the base to push it down, I guess that can get a little annoying. But anyway, I am assuming it works. I didn't ask her the next day whether it's functioning properly. I'm so there's that. Now,
yay.
In regards to my complaints last week over Docker and Rancher Desktop and having problems with that on OS X, and I'm on Ventura still because they haven't approved. What's the latest one? I don't even know. I don't really care. Anyway,
Sonoma.
Is that Is it Ventura then Sonoma?
Ventura was a long while ago.
Whatever it is, I'm not on the latest, but I was having all sorts of problems not being able to build our containers locally with Rancher Desktop because NPM was not, for some reason, finding the network, which was weird because you can ping stuff. It just wasn't working. The next day, I made the case in our stand-up for getting Docker Desktop, which almost, like, there was, like, consensus that, yeah, we would like to maybe license Docker Desktop, small team. The thing is that what always confuses me about licensing is that we are a small team that's part of a larger group that's part of a corporation, and I'm not 100% sure, like, how we could license this. For instance, there's three pay licenses, and there's the free version for developers, then there's like the single developer, then the team license, and then the company license. And you pay, like, for a license, you pay more for a single user, and then for a team, you pay a little less, but you have to license everybody on the team. And then for a company, you pay the least amount per person, but then I guess you got a license for everybody in the company. I don't know. I didn't invest time looking into it. And we're a small team, so I don't know which way that we would have to go. But looking at it, the thing that's kind of a pain in the ass about it is that what is offered for the non-personal use or developer use license, we don't even want to use or take advantage of, right? So it'd be nice to just get it at the lowest tier or at the group, the team license. That way we don't have the license for everybody in the company, just people on our team. Anyway, that licensing aside, it came back from another team that they use a tool called Kolima, which I tested out. And Kolima is spelled C-O-L-I-M-A. Now, Kolima is not like Rancher or Docker Desktop in the extent that it is basically for container runtimes on macOS and Linux with minimal setup, but you are responsible for the Docker side of things, so you still have to get Docker and Docker Compose and any other piece components of Docker that you'd want to get. Kolima just allows you to run the containers on macOS, provides that hook into the virtualization and everything to be able to handle that, and handles all that work kind of like Docker Desktop or Rancher Desktop would. It was super easy to get installed and set up. And it worked perfectly right out of the box the first time I tried it. I was able to build the container that I needed to build locally and was happy with it. And so before I moved completely away from Rancher Desktop, I decided to try and maybe do some other fiddling around with it. And sure enough, I was able to get Rancher Desktop working. But what I had to do was I had to completely remove it and then reinstall it and completely wipe out all of its, like, configuration and its engines that it downloads and images and stuff like that. I had to completely reset Rancher Desktop. I had to completely reset the Kubernetes side of things on it. And then I was able to get things working and it with the VMLUZ or whatever is the native Macintosh. Anyway, I got it working, but then I was like, I'm just going to use Kolima anyway, and so I removed it. Now, what I did find is what is annoying particularly about using something like Rancher Desktop or Docker Desktop even is that they install all their stuff in a single location. Typically, I think with both of those, it was in my home directory. And then they set up stuff in your profile. I believe both in .bashrc and .bash_profile in my case. Now, OS X by default uses the Z shell, but I switched over to staying consistently using bash across all my environments, both home and work. So I am using .bash on OS X. So it sets up stuff in there to alter your path so that it looks for all the Docker stuff within its own directory structure instead of using something that may be installed in user local or wherever you put. Like if you install Docker stuff through Brew, it's going in the user local bin. So I had to make sure all of that was cleaned out, and I cleaned it out for Rancher and then discovered it was still in there for Docker Desktop. So I had to clean it out for Docker Desktop too. And then once I did that, Kolima was broken because Docker wasn't installed. And then I couldn't do any builds after I got Docker installed because Docker authentication wasn't installed. So then I had to install Docker. Like when I went to go pull an image from Docker Hub, which you really don't need to be authenticated to, I don't think. Like it still wanted authentication to happen. Wanted me to authenticate through Quay. And I don't know. I guess there's something I gotta ferret out in my Docker configuration that is wanting to authenticate the Quay IO before it pulls anything from anywhere. Anyway, once I got all that worked out, it was back to running perfectly fine. What I was interested in trying to do now, and I don't know what Docker Desktop does, and I'd like to figure this out, but the VIP tool for WordPress VIP local development wants you to use Docker Desktop for setting it up. And it pulls down a couple of containers, sets all this stuff up. It uses Lando for the networking, Lando load balancer for the networking and stuff like that. But would it also, like, I don't know what Docker Desktop does differently than Rancher. And in this case, also Kolima still had the same problem that at some point when trying to get these containers all configured and set up, there's a permission error when it's mounting volumes within the container. And I don't know why, like, it just won't get past that point. It's not an issue on Docker Desktop, but it is an issue on Kolima, and it is an issue on Rancher Desktop, and I couldn't find a way to solve it. So if we elect... if we can get VIP to fix their or enhance their tool so that we can set a custom local domain that this runs on instead of the one that they kind of force onto us. And the reason that we have to have this custom domain in a specific way is that our Okta implementation, when you authenticate, it goes out to Okta, and on the Okta side is a redirect that comes back that redirects says, okay, it's okay to redirect back to the local instance in this case. And that is a specific domain, local domain name that's mapped to, we can map the local host that is done through the VVV setup, but with their VIP dev tool, there isn't a way to do that. In a similar way, for some reason, the Lando load balancer does, like, I can't get in there to say, okay, we want this domain instead of the one that you want to set up. And that is hard coded in their tool to use that domain. And I pointed that out to them, like, all you need to do is just provide a parameter that we can pass in to change that. And if you change, if you allow that to be changed, then it would work perfectly for us. So that was a couple of months ago. I brought up in the meeting today. If they were ever to implement that and we could take advantage of it, then I think maybe we could be back to Docker Desktop. But anyway, that's the way it is, Joel. That's the way it is.
Yep.
So, fat and happy building containers. Everybody's happy again.
Yep.
I think I covered everything. Oh, you know what I didn't cover last week? And I meant, and I should have, Joel, I should have told you about this. Not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before, it was the halfway point to Halloween. And
okay,
that meant that the Ashland Theater, Ashland is a town just a hop, skip, and a jump north of Richmond, Virginia, where Randolph-Macon College is, and they were showing, I don't think I mentioned this, the Rocky Horror Picture Show with the Richmond, Virginia Rocky cast. So they did the whole thing. And my daughter loves Rocky Horror Picture Show. She loves the music. She loves that. We took her to see it. She had a blast. She loved it. It was a fantastic time. Hilarious. It was very enjoyable. The cast was awesome. Everybody there was awesome. And I was kind of surprised, but I shouldn't have been. The audience was skewed pretty old. I thought for a college town that there would be a lot of college students there. But no, it was people older than me, Joel. It was people your age, sir.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. But it was a good time.
Well, it's like there used to be – they used to do the Rocky Horror Picture Show like every week at a theater here in the Columbus area. I think it was the Graceland Theater, I think. I can't remember what. But
Midnight,
I mean,
Movies?
No, it was – and they went off the chain, too. I mean, they did the different things that you can do at Rocky Horror.
Throwing the cards, throwing the toes, all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
Now, what's weird about this – and I'm kind of bummed. I wish – like, the show was started at 8. And back where I grew up in the Lehigh Valley, there was a movie theater, Lehigh Valley Cinemas, that had midnight movies, and they were showing like Rocky Horror Picture Show every week on the weekends at the midnight movies. But anyway, the town of Ashland, if I would have known this, we could have gone there like a lot earlier in the day. They had a train festival in the town that started like 11 o'clock in the morning and only went till 5 p.m. So we got there like right as it ended. But what's interesting about this town and about 8 years ago, I'm going to say maybe about 8 years ago, Paige had a governor's school for language over the summer that she went to for Japanese. And it's at the college at Randolph-Macon. And what's weird about this town is straight through the middle of town that bisects the town And right there bisects the main road in the town is a train track where the Amtrak comes through and all the other trains come through throughout the day. Like, I've never been in a town that has a train track running through the middle of it like that. It's pretty interesting. And they had a train day thing. I don't know what trains they had come through, but it looked pretty interesting. I wish we could have attended it, but it was over by the time we got there. And I could see you, Joel, nice, being in a place like that with your camera set up. Because there's a bunch of guys taking pictures with their GoPros and stuff and drones and everything. Yeah. I don't know if you're interested in trains, but just the photography.
Yeah, I am, and I'm not. You know, I don't know.
I love trains, but
next week I've got a short week because Hamvention starts next Friday. So, and I'm planning on going.
And where is Hamvention again?
Well, technically it's Dayton. It's put on by the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, but it's actually in Xenia, Ohio, at the Greene County Fairgrounds. So it is probably by far one of the largest ham fests in the country. And it's also happens to be where all the big radio companies will bring their stuff. They don't always introduce stuff there. A lot of stuff's introduced at the one that's in Japan, because that's where most of them are based. You know, ICOM, Kenwood, and all the different major manufacturers of amateur radio stuff. But we did get some recent kind of bad news in the amateur radio community. Martin Ju, who is the primary guy who owns MFJ Enterprises, has announced he's going to be retiring, and they're shutting the company down.
What does that mean?
So MFJ is essentially they own. Hold on, let me pull up the list.
Dun dun dun.
Okay, they own a lot of companies, but Martin Ju is MFJ is like his initials, but they own MFJ, Ameritron, High Gain, Cushcraft, Mirage, Vectronics, and MDS Ham. Cushcraft is like an antenna company. High Gain, I think, makes amplifiers. Ameritron makes power supplies. MFJ makes all sorts of different things, antennas. In fact, I got right here next to me, my little radio I got next to me here, it's got an MFJ antenna on it. This guy, he's getting into his 80s, and they've been around for a very, very long time, and they're now shutting down, and they're also one of the very few radio companies that's based in the United States as well, in Mississippi.
So, wait, so they're going to be able to take that over or no?
Nope, nobody is. They're shutting down completely.
So who's going to fill that gap?
Somebody's. Yeah, they see. Yeah, as of May 17th, the company will cease on-site production at their Starkville, Mississippi facility. Ameritron, High Gain, Cushcraft, Mirage, and Vectronics brands will be affected by the shutdown. So, 50 years.
Huh. That's a bummer.
Yeah, they're not the only ones. Like, a lot of radios, like ICOM themselves makes accessories for their radios. So things like antenna tuners and microphones and stuff like that. I mean, it's a awful blow considering that they just recently lost Bob Heil because he passed away too. Bob was part of Ham Nation when it was on the Twit Network. They still do it. It's just somewhere else now, not on Leo's network.
Okay. Is anything on that? Is that network still going on?
Twit? It is. I haven't watched a show on there in years now. Ham Nation is too. It's just, I forget. It's on a YouTube channel. I can't remember which one off the top of my head. And, there we go. Ham Nation is now on, I got the original Ham Nation channel that Leo still has.
Leo still has what? Just his shows?
Ham Nation's now on Ham Radio Crash Course. On that's the YouTube channel, Ham Radio Crash Course. Same frequency, once a week they do. And now you got... Wow. The only one that you Don Wilbanks, who's from the Amateur Radio Newsline, still on there, and so is WB6NOA Gordon West. Bob, about a month ago is when they did the Ham Nation did their show tributing Bob when he passed.
So if this dude's retiring, why can't somebody take over the company for
MFJ? Well, see, that's a good question, because here's the fun thing is there's actually people that have been there almost the whole time, you know, so, it's a lot. I mean, MFJ did a lot of things for years and years and years. They had one of the largest booths at Hamvention when they did the Hamvention at the old Hera Arena, which is now gone, it was shut down. And then, like about a year or so after that arena shut down, was hit by a tornado and is now no longer there anymore. The main arena is, you know, as you'd walk into the arena from the entrance, the first booth you saw was MFJ Enterprises. So, they made so many different things over the years. And it's one of those things where you know, they made it. And once they started making certain things, they just kept making them, you know, over the years. It's not like this antenna I have in here, they probably made that for 30 years. You know, and it's not like physics changes, you know, where it's going to be useless. It's not like when you buy you buy a 20-year-old pocket PC, which, yeah, those are 20 years old now. but, you know, how useful is a 20-year-old pocket PC? Not very anymore. You know, if I have radios here that, I have a radio that originally belonged to my grandfather that he bought in the 80s, and it's still useful today. So, yeah, that's kind of how MFJ just kept on doing things, is once they introduced a new product until there was absolutely no positively use for it, they continue to make it. And a lot of stuff in ham radio, there was always a use for it. So
I finished.
Finished your weight?
No, fixing my dryer.
Oh. What was wrong with it?
One of the drum rollers had disintegrated. It's basically one of the bearings that holds the drum into place and allows
it in.
Yeah, one of those had come off and was clunking around, and the entire center portion of it was snapped, and yeah, So I was telling Dan earlier that I couldn't find the part locally. Evidently, nobody sells parts around here, so I had to order from Amazon. But since I already had the back already all the way taken apart to try and figure out what was wrong when I found that, it was like 2 minutes of work to snap the new one in, put the locking piece on, and then I just closed it back up, and then Jackie went and got some dryer ducting, and voila.
Great job, man.
Oh, and I am currently 3D printing all the parts to convert my DVD duplicator into a DAS. I think I talked about that last time I was on the show.
DVD duplicator to a what?
Direct attached storage.
Ah. Okay.
So I got a DVD duplicator for free. You know, it's got essentially 8 DVD rewritable drives on it and a control space, so 9 slots. But I'm going to get a SAS PCIe card for my computer and a 2 6-foot cables that go from SFF8088 to SATA to 4 SATAs, and then just run that straight across. It's already got a power supply that was used for the DVD drives, and yeah, I got to print out the rest of the drive tray adapters and the front covers, and it'll be ready.
Nice.
I think Bill's sending me some hard drives, and I got a couple of hard drives, and Moss might send me some. If you guys want to send me hard drives, send me hard drives.
I don't have any to send.
a 500 megabyte hard drive?
Is it SATA?
No.
That's PATA, right? P-A-T-A, right?
I don't think it'll work then.
Wait, is it just IDE? Is that?
No, it's got to be SATA, not PATA. Yeah.
No, I'm saying the old wasn't it IDE or SCSI, and then PATA came along and then SATA, right?
No, IDE was after PATA. Wait a minute, was it? No, PATA was just a type of IDE, I think, wasn't it?
Okay,
I can't remember.
Isn't SCSI That's still around shit. And IDE isn't?
It is. SCSI is still around. In fact, iSCSI is actually a protocol now, I think, for different hard drives use. Oh. Not hard drives, network storage, I mean.
And then my 3D printer was printing all wonky again. Oh, man, I tried everything to get that thing going good. I mean, tightening belts, making sure that the bearings were, the roller wheels on there were the correct distance so that there wasn't too much tension, but still enough tension, and nothing was working. And then I just, one of these days, I sat in the right position, and I was watching it, and my entire, like, hot end underneath my cooler was wobbling as it was printing. So I took it apart, and one of the bolts that holds the heat dissipator for the hot end had become stripped, so I had to replace that. And it's printing great again.
Good.
According to what I'm reading, IDE and PATA are the same thing. Essentially the same.
That's what I thought, right, yeah.
So you ain't going to be able to use those, Joe.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Well, here's just to keep the fans updated on our brother Link. Yesterday he went back to the ER with another thoracentesis. He's got liquid around his heart and his lungs that they were draining off. I just got a been messaging Michelle on Facebook, and he said he's doing much better today, but he was just in a lot of pain yesterday. So keep our brother Link in your thoughts as he battles his kidney disease.
Yeah, that stinks, man. That sucks. Keep us posted too. I know it's hard for him to get emails and stuff.
Yeah,
when he's in and out of the hospital.
Yeah, like I emailed him. I said, "Hey, I sent a picture of one of my T-shirt designs that I did with my cricket, and I said if you want me to, I can make you one and send it to you." And he didn't respond back to it, so you know he's not feeling good if he didn't respond back to an email.
Yeah.
So
it took like a week when I sent him. Last time I sent him an email, I think it mostly because he was still in the hospital, so I don't know if he's able to post anything or whatever.
Yep. Actually, it's funny. We're having the show, and I had already Facebook messaged Michelle this morning, and she just sent a message where she said he's feeling much better today than he was yesterday. So I asked her if he's home yet. So I bet he's probably not. I know that he was the big battle now is for him to get back to the point where he can go back to the peritoneal dialysis, which is a lot less intensive. That's the one where you do it every night, like before you go to bed. He's on hemodialysis even at home now when he is at home. And that takes 4 hours. So obviously, he's probably not working. So,
that is tough.
Yep. But in happier news, I am 2 pounds from my goal.
Excellent.
I'm at 301. I should say my next goal, 301. But it's also a really important milestone for me to get to even that, in that I've lost 80 pounds from my heaviest.
Yeah,
so,
I saw your post on Facebook. Yep, you're looking pretty good there.
Yep. I bought I had bought some jeans that were 2 inches smaller than my largest waist size, which was 50. But now I bought some 46s, 46-inch shorts that I can now wear. So two pant sizes dropped. So, and hopefully Sunday I'm going to go for another hike. Sunday's my son actually, trying to think how it's all going to work. I know he was bowling Sunday morning league. And I think that one's wrapping for the season now, and he's starting a new one that's Sunday evenings. So Sunday after church, I have mostly to myself lately, as it seems. So that's usually going to be my go-to for my training hikes. So, but I've been doing like on the treadmill. I'm at level 8 on the hill program. I'm doing a rolling hill program, so level 8, whatever that means, and Matrix is hill programs. That's the kind of treadmill that Planet Fitness has. And then today I just decided when I got up, I got up kind of late and decided, let's just go. It was so nice outside, let me just go walk outside, and that's what I did today. Went and did like 1.8 miles. On the treadmill, I'm gradually building myself up to almost a run. I'll go, and I can sustain 4 miles an hour for a little bit on the treadmill. Not very long.
So you're going to run that hike instead, right?
No, I got three other guys that's doing it with me. So, and I don't need to run. I don't need to run. If I can maintain 3 miles an hour, that's 6.5 hours for the whole entire hike.
There you go.
So that would mean like hill climbs I'd probably be slower. Then downhills would be faster, you know, and level surfaces would be, you know, about what I want to keep, you know. I did get another, I think I had mentioned it last week, I got another pair of Ultra Lone Peak 7s as a backup pair, and I've been wearing those lately, but I think when I go to the hike, I'll put my trusty blue ones out and put those on. And I've got a pair of and this is kind of what I like about the modern world of hiking is that the equipment now is a lot less standardized, and you can kind of flex it a little bit more. You know, back in the day when I was in Scouts, you know, when you went hiking, you wore hiking boots. Well, most people now wear trail runners, and back in when I was in Scouts, you wore these big, thick wool socks. Now I've got a pair. They're still wool, but they're very thin socks that I've got made by a company called Darn Tough. And I can get them ankle length instead of going up your leg. So, which is what I prefer, is something shorter, because my calves are super huge just because of my size, and you know, my calf is probably one of my strongest muscle into my leg, and they're fat, they're huge, so a regular sock doesn't stay up more than 10 minutes on my leg. So I'm usually ankle socks or even shorter too, so. But the Darn Toughs are definitely comfortable and breathable, and they might be expensive. They're like $20 a pair. But if you wear a hole in them, you basically just send them in the Darn Tough, and they'll send you another pair.
Well, that's nice. How long does that last for?
Ever.
Really?
It's kind of like Craftsman, yeah. I think I'll have to look it up for sure, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
That's right. What are these called again?
Darn Tough.
How much are they?
Darn Tough. About $20 a pair.
Oh, socks.
Yep.
Yeah. That's not bad.
I got the quarter
quality size, right?
Yeah, quarter men's run, quarter ultra lightweight. Wait, no, I don't have the running sock. Hold on. I got the hiking socks. I do got quarter length. And they're made out of merino wool. Ooh, and that the best part is I love the colors they're all available in, too.
Yeah, they got a nice selection of styles on there. You know what kind of...
I bought mine at REI. That's right, because I entered the co-op at REI.
That's cool. What one of the things that floors me, and like I'm just very impressed by this, is that about 6 months ago, maybe a little longer, I gave my daughter Lillian a laptop that's running Manjaro for her to play Minecraft on. And I haven't seen her play a lot of Minecraft, but she seems to use that laptop like almost every day. and she's using it. I don't know what completely what else she does with it. I know she does her schoolwork and everything with it. And I was just impressed. Like, she's just using it. She has a Chromebook that she gets from school, but she uses her laptop on a regular basis. So I'm impressed that, I guess what impresses me is that she's actually using technology for a bunch of other things other than playing games, but also that to her, it hasn't stopped her from whatever she wants to do. You know what I mean? Like you used to hear in the past, yeah. Well, you can't use Linux for this. You can't use. She's doing all her stuff that she wants to do on it. Now, Paige, and I guess Paige will probably come on sometime again later on. She's trying her hand at making some phone applications and doing different things with that. And Lillian was interested in helping her out. And Paige is like, well, if you want to do some art design for me, all you need to do is fire up Krita and get yourself a tablet and start working on it like that. And that's the thing is, aside from having some kind of tablet to draw with, which, I mean, if that's what she really wants, we'll get her that. She wants to do that. She got Krita all ready to go, man.
There you go.
And it's nice. It's not like you got to spend hundreds of dollars just to get a drawing application license.
Fully professional. Like Apple would have you believe after their announcement yesterday.
Oh, is that the M2? And all that? The
No, no, no. The M4 iPad.
Oh, the M4.
Which the M4 chip was first announced in the iPad. The first time they ever did a new chip on iPad before Mac. So, and I have the M2 iPad Pro, and they have a 13 and 11 inch. I love my iPad, but I don't know if I want to spend as much as they want on another one right now.
How much is it?
Well,
how many four figures?
See, here's the. It depends on the storage you want, of course. They finally increased the base level storage of the iPad from 64 gigabytes to 128.
How much is that going to run me?
I think the base one is like 500. I have to look here.
Oh, it's only 500? I thought we were talking about like 1,000 something. Still, 500 is about $400 more than I'm going to pay for a tablet.
Yeah, it's new laptop money for some people.
And it's probably going to be about $500 more than I'm going to pay for a tablet anyway. Because
no, that's the Pro. See the Pro model. I'm sorry, the Pro model starts at $999.
Yeah, no.
Wait, is that with 128?
Yeah.
Gigs. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the baseline entry model?
The baseline iPad Pro. I mean, you can still get they still have the Air models, which are essentially just like my now 2-year-old. It's not 2-year-old to me. I've only had it for almost, it'll be a year in August that I have my iPad Pro. But at that time I bought it, it was one of the top of the line ones, although I only have 128 gig storage on it. I figured out I didn't really need as much storage because what do I use it for 90% of the time? Streaming shit.
There you go.
So, you know.
Wait, is that with the M2 chip or is that?
New iPad Air has the M2 chip. The new
okay.
The new iPad Pro starts with the M4, and the Pro starts at 256 gig for this. So that's 256 gig. For $999, a maxed out iPad Pro has 2 terabytes of storage and 16 gigabytes of RAM, and it starts at. Let me see.
starts at way too much.
Yeah, basically.
It goes on to abysmally too much.
Let's see what the 11 is.
What are people doing with an iPad that they need that much?
You see, that's what I want to know too. But okay, so if you go all the way to the top end model of the 11 inch, it's $2,000 for the 2 terabyte, and that's with the nano texture glass, which has a matte finish versus the glossy finish. You can save $100 if you got the regular glass, but like I said, if I had that much money to blow on a piece of tech, I ain't buying a new iPad. I'm buying a MacBook.
Well, that's my question right there is, I get it. If you get a quality tablet, you got to spend a little bit of change on that, right? Yeah. Cuz the cheaper ones, you get what you pay for.
They're awful.
but why, like, at some point I got to say, what the hell are you doing with a tablet?
Right.
That you need that much power on it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm curious. I mean, is that more for like specific business uses, like maybe
the thing is that they announced
augmented reality implementations.
Well, there you go. There's probably some of that in there, but the big thing they were touting is, of course, it has more neural processors or NPUs. So they got AI being brought into things like Final Cut is finally coming out for the iPad. That's their video editor that Apple makes. And I believe the latest Final Cut needs the M4.
But again, why would you want to run Final Cut on an iPad?
Well, see, yeah, I guess there's some people in the iPad world that use. In fact, if I could run, well, see, that's the thing. I want to kind of challenge myself here, because I can run Lightroom on my iPad, all right? And I think this weekend I'm going to try and edit my church service pictures using the iPad just as a proof of concept. Could I do it, you know?
I guess, you'll probably figure out you can do it, but then the question would be, why would you do it? Yeah, why? Right. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. On the other hand, I mean, Final Cut Pro was running on hardware that was nowhere even near what an iPad's running now.
Correct. Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's like, see, and here's my other problem that I have with iPads is that to get, I will just, you know, it's a dispute whether that their keyboard is worth the extra cost, but their keyboard accessory is $300. And I'm like, ugh, really? I can get some damn nice keyboards for desktop PCs that cost well under that.
That's also nuts. You know, the $1,000 tablet thing, I mean, if it's good enough to be a laptop and it comes with a keyboard, then that's almost one thing. If it had, like, graphics built in, maybe. But still, I mean, $1,000?
Come on, Joe. That's $50 for the keyboard, $250 for the brand. That's why you're not a millionaire.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
If you put the logo on it, they will buy it.
Yep. And for the first time ever, because they're trying to reduce the amount of plastic in their packaging, when you buy that $1,000 iPad, you're not getting any Apple stickers.
What do you get?
Nothing. You get the device, and that's it.
You lose a lot of money.
So let me guess. They're getting rid of the stickers, but it comes with plastic wrapped on the outside.
Probably.
In a plastic container on the inside with a plastic covering over the display inside a plastic bag. And all the accessories in there are in plastic, right? But the sticker is just, that's out of the question. Although, you know, I will say this. They do a good job packaging their stuff up, usually. I mean, the Apple stuff that I've seen unboxed looks, the packaging is impressive.
Now, it actually gets worse here. I don't know. I'm pretty sure if you order it here in the States, it comes with a charger. But in Europe, if you order it, you don't even get a charger. Just like your phone.
Oh, gosh. I hate that.
I'm like, well, I guess the assumption is that you have these things, which, you know, they're not wrong because I have plenty of chargers, you know, because I've bought several Anker chargers. In fact, I got a fairly new one that'll do that will provide enough current to power my Raspberry Pi 5. And I got the one I use downstairs will go, will actually charge a MacBook off the USB-C. But, you know, it bothers me that, you know, at one point when we bought a phone, not only did we get a charger in the package, but we got headphones too. Remember that?
With what?
Headphones used to come with your phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, MP3 players come with earbuds these days still.
Right.
Yeah, well, I guess that's kind of an important
earbuds
part.
Shitty earbuds, too, but yeah, that's besides the point.
And they come with a
charger.
At
least you got them.
They usually come with a charger. You know what sucks is when you get something and it comes with, it's USB, and it's like, not USB-C, and it's not US. What is the first USB called? Just USB, right?
Micro,
the big fat.
Well, you had mini
thing.
The first one that we all were used to was probably mini.
Yeah.
Then micro, and then USB-C, and for Apple folks, lightning cable, which thank God is mostly gone now,
yeah.
Or will be once they're, the next iteration of iPhone is out. I know the latest iPhone does have USB-C. But older, like if you buy like the SE versions or previous generations, they still have Lightning. So Lightning will be around for a little while. My current iPhone that I have for work is Lightning. But it's just like, you know, I on eBay on a whim ran into an old pocket PC that I bought for like $20. You know, I'm waiting for a replacement battery to come, but I can't even hook. It's just like the Nokia NA10s that I have. I can't connect them to a modern Wi-Fi network because they don't support a WPA2.
Mm-hmm.
Even though my current hardware that I have can do 802.11b stuff still. But I took it. What was a rather large is the pocket PC I bought was a HP iPac, so it's the iPac after HP bought Compaq, right? HX 4700, which was probably the first pocket PC of any sort that had a full VGA screen on it, 640 by 480, right? And can't connect it to Wi-Fi. The battery, of course, the battery's shot, but the battery's also 20 years old because it came out in 2003. Okay. Mm-hmm. And but that was a big device. And my Pixel 6 Pro is still bigger than it. All right. Now, these new iPads that Apple just released and will be shipping next week are the thinnest devices they have ever made. It's thinner than the current iPhone. That's how thin they are. So, and they cut the power, like, to drive the M4 chip at the same power that the M2 chip was driven at takes half the power. So, and they could have kept the thickness the same as the previous generation iPad and put a bigger battery in, and it would have lasted even longer. But did they do that? No, they didn't do that. So, for, you know, reasons, you know. I'm waiting for the first ones to come out and people start bending the shit out of them. Hope I'm wrong, though. One good idea that they did have, though, is they put the front-facing camera instead of being at the top. You know, normally you're seeing, like, if you're just holding your iPad to read stuff on, you might be holding it in a portrait. But then if you're, like, doing FaceTime, you put it landscape. All right, so they put the camera for the front-facing camera on the landscape side instead of the portrait side. So it makes a lot more sense. But for those who use FaceTime or whatever, I don't use FaceTime. You know I could. But so, you know, it's, you know, we'll see. I guess Apple's been hurting sales-wise across the board, too. Especially the iPad. This is the first iPad Pros that they released in 2 years. So, so we'll see how they do. You know, I'm more excited. Actually, I think the Pixel tablet, they're starting to release that without the speaker dock if you want it. Although I don't know why you wouldn't buy it without. I like the speaker dock. I would definitely buy it with the speaker dock versus without. But my biggest complaint, though, is that the hardware that they have in that Pixel tablet is kind of on the anemic side. So if I'm going to buy a Pixel tablet, I'm going to wait till the next gen. Because we'll see what happens. The Pixel 9 Pro is probably going to be what I'm upgrading my phone to probably this fall. Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah, damn.
This might be the first time that I go with maybe the base level storage. My 6 Pro has 512 gig. I'm using barely 200 gig, I think. So there's no reason for me to have the larger storage because, well, it's not like I shoot some video on it, but not a lot, you know, and being that it has USB-C on the bottom, I've got a SanDisk SSD drive that plugs into USB-C, so I can always offload it that way or just upload it to a Google Photo and be done with it, you know. But but when you look at, you know, it's hard for me to believe that our phones are now so much bigger than pocket PCs were, at least in screen real estate. I think the old pocket PC that I bought is thicker than my phone is, but the screen real estate blows it out of the park. as does the amount of CPU power, because those things didn't have a lot anyway. But, and nobody cares. I mean, I remember we were trying for, there was companies trying for so long trying to set up a standard, like, like Nokia had their Linux-based internet tablets, and now it's all about Android or iOS, and that's it. Nobody else is doing anything, not even Microsoft. In fact, Microsoft, who did bring out two Android devices in the Surface Duo and Surface Duo 2, the support for the Duo 2 ends in October. And Microsoft ain't making any more. So, it's Samsung. Nowadays, it's mostly Samsung or Apple. For decent ones, you know. Uh-huh. I'm not saying that the Pixel phones are decent too, but it's just Samsung still outsells them.
Yeah.
Then there's all those cheap shit ones you can get on AliExpress. Probably come loaded with spyware.
Of course.
Because it's come from the motherland. Communist China.
Spyware.
Yep. But I did finally break down. I bought the main case that I'm going to do for my CyberDeck build for my Raspberry Pi 5. And the screen that I have that I was planning on using is too large to fit in the case. So I got to find another screen. Good thing is I can still use the screen that I have for other things, though.
What are you going to use it for?
Well, I'm trying to remember which HDMI. It's not the micro. It's the one above that in size. So I've got the cables I need to hook it up to pretty much anything with an HDMI port. So I can probably connect to my work laptop on trips if I wanted to. Although the resolution isn't the greatest. It's low 1080p.
Mm.
So eventually I would like to get like a portable screen so that some days I could take my work laptop downstairs and work from the screen room or something. Just scenery. Anywho, it is getting late.
It is. It's almost closing. It is. Time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay. Mm-hmm. You can't stay.
So I'll be going.
About how's your house coming along now? You've been in
almost
it now,
3 years. Almost 3 years. Yeah, it's going good. Three years. I mean, we already replaced the dishwasher, but that's because the one that came with the house that we added in our appliance package was pretty much the cheapest one you can get, like what they put in apartments. So it wasn't a very good one. So the new one we got, we spent some bucks on it and got a really good one. Other than that, everything else seems to be doing okay. And my washer and dryer seem to be behaving. Those ones, the one thing I found, I have a front loader LG, and I've got, if you've heard of Glisten for the dishwasher, they'd make the same kind of thing for your washer, your clothes washer. And about once a month, I'll run some of that through the soap dispenser, and maybe also get some Afresh and put it in there. And so far, ever since I started doing that, we haven't had issues with the things we were having issues with is that soap dispenser and the hose going down to the tub would get clogged, and then it would shoot water out the soap dispenser, right, all over my floor, right? So if I keep putting that stuff through, and I also run, like, when I run that through, I run it super hot, you know, and that helps keep that buildup from building up as much. That said, am I going to buy another LG front loader when these are completely kaput? Probably not. The fact is I don't know what I'd buy now. I think what I probably would look at is maybe they have not the European style, because in Europe, they have the basically don't have a washer and dryer. They have a laundry machine, which does both. Okay. Here we have that, but it's much more effective than the one in Europe. And the drying is a little different in that it's more like a dehumidifier than it is a dryer. So I don't think it gets as hot, but it's supposed to, you know, basically uses a heat pump technology to dry the clothes. So it's one machine. So you don't have to have two machines in there. So it would take up less room. So I could use my laundry room for more than just holding laundry machines and the entrance to our other mechanics like air conditioner and the hot water tank, you know. But it reminds me, I should replace. It's been about 6 months, so I probably should. Actually, longer than that. I probably should replace my filter in my AC system, HVAC. But we have had our AC on, though, because it's been, like, I think today was, like, in the 80s. So, it gets warm in the house when I do that, so. Goodness. I'm overdue for starting up the Pit Boss, so I need to try and do that this weekend if I can. Grill me some meats. Got some Wahlburger patties in the freezer.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. Tomorrow I know I probably won't, because we usually Luke usually goes bowling Thursday nights for practice, and I have my fitness group. So I'll order something, like, and usually I Dash it or Grubhub it and have it scheduled to come, like, the latter half of my workday. That way I eat and go downstairs, get ready, and go over to the church for the workout group. Last weekend, we didn't do that.
I smoked some chicken leg quarters last Thursday, and then on Monday, I smoked some sausage, Italian sausage.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I loved it. So good.
Yeah, I need to get – that reminds me, when I go to Sam's Club Friday, I should grab a pack of the DeRosso sausage that we like. That's really good on the grill. But – I'd like to do some things like salmon and stuff on the grill, but my wife won't eat it.
I'll do it anyway.
I know. I always can do it.
There you go.
But cool. Well, we'll see y'all next week.
Yeah. Let me, I guess I should
play us out.
Yeah. Any last words for you, Joe? Joe?
Nope, nothing. I'm good. Good night.
It's hot, right?
It is
Texas
hot.
Texas is hot. It's in the 90s already, right?
Yeah. Well, the heat index was over 100 today.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, stay cool. All right, here we go. Your promo.
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Were you making egg foo young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Holy crap, it's hard to believe it's May already.
You know what makes me feel old?
Your age?
Seeing people, well, that.
Yeah.
I have a friend I was in band with. We graduated same class. And I met her first time since we graduated last May. About this time, too. She's working her final. She's got a music degree and became a music teacher. And she's working for the Baltimore School District, I think. And she's teaching her last year. She's retiring. And she's just my age. I'm like,
damn.
Granted, she's been teaching since 94.
Right.
So, but, you know. Good for her.
She had plans?
I could have been retired. That's a good question. I don't know. I have to ask her. She's really nice. She's one of these she played sports as well as was in a band, so she's kinda ever since I've known her, she's always had shorter hair than most girls do. She's not gay, although she's one of those girls you went to school with where later on in life you got, I wonder if she was gay, but she never was, so. Because she's got a boyfriend too, so. But. When you go in high school, I mean, I don't know when you went to high school, what kind of group you were in or not, but, you know, there's always those people that were bullies and stuff. She never was that, you know. But. And that's one of the things I appreciate about our fitness group at church is that, unlike when we were in high school, it's a completely different kind of mentality that the people that lead the group, you know, they basically will say, let's do this. If you can't do that, here's a way to do the same thing that's less impact on you. So like, you know, a good example is I can't do burpees. I'm not coordinated enough. Not to mention the fact I'm 53 years old. My knees are, like, saying no more when I even try to do one. So they say, just do this half or just do that half of it, you know. Or instead of push-ups on the – getting down on the floor to do push-ups – do them off a wall. You know, you still work the same muscle. You might not work it as much as if you did a traditional push-up, but there you go. You're still moving. And that's what I really like about the group. I mean, it's they don't make you feel bad if you can't do something. They're constantly cheering you on for whatever you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And since I started the group, I can now do more than what I did at the beginning. So that's how it should work. when we were in high school, that's not how it worked at all. At least for the schools I went to, anyway. So, and now I'm finally getting to the point where I like working out, and it's not something I just do because I have to.
It is fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, once you find something that works for you, it absolutely is fun. Not everyone was meant to go run marathons. And you shouldn't feel bad because you can't. Like I said this morning, didn't push myself as hard as I have been this morning, but that's okay. At least I got up and did something. And that's really the key.
Do the
stuff even if you don't want to.
So I have to. I got to get a workout tomorrow.
My initial thought of dryer parts at local stores would probably be, like, I wouldn't. And I'm kind of ignorant on this. I will admit that.
What?
I'm going to say I'm kind of ignorant on this. I don't know how specific parts are between models of dryers. Like,
Right. Is
like a thermostat? Is there like a common thermostat that multiple dryers use, or is your model going to use a specific thermostat? And then and so my thought is
Jackie just brought me all the ducting stuff.
I was gonna say I'm not as familiar with that, and I would probably think that, given the fact that every time I go looking for parts online, it's easy to find, but I never really paid attention to whether it's a part that's standard across multiple brands and models of dryers, which would lend me to think that if that's not the case, then, you know, hardware stores carrying all those different parts, probably that's
yeah,
not.
I guess that's pretty understandable that they wouldn't in that case. I mean, you assume some parts would be fairly standard, but I could see how, you know, there'd be enough variance that it'd be kind of pointless.
But yeah, I don't know how much of a pain the companies are when they put these things together. Now, on the other hand, way back in the day when I worked for the school district, when I got hired the first year that I was there, the big reason they were hiring was that they were doing all the cabling themselves, and we would have to go down to an electrical supply company that I believe sold primarily to contractors, and the school district had a contract with them or whatever, I don't know, an open PO, where we would go get our cabling supplies from them. So I think a place like that may have had parts for dryers, like,
right?
But then again, you know, the thing is, when the guy came out to fix my dishwasher, which of course, like, the dishwasher, those parts, I guess you have to get them directly from the manufacturer. So I don't know if they would be available at an electrical supply company around here, which makes me think dryers might be the same way, but I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
And they usually come pretty fast.
What, the parts?
Yeah, the parts that I've ordered usually come in a few days.
Well, 24 hours with frickin' Amazon.
Oh, you got them off of Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it'd be nice if there was a place you could go locally to pick this stuff up and you can get it done.
Yep. Now I'm trying to squeeze my big ass into this narrow confines.
I will say this, when I've taken apart dryers, they're not very complicated.
Right. Thankfully, it was fairly straightforward, so.
So what are you replacing?
Just one of the drum roller wheels.
Oh.
Essentially, a bearing went out.
I'll tell you what, I've replaced a number of belts on the drums, and that's kind of a pain in the butt. If you don't want to take the whole thing apart, like you could do it, but you gotta contort yourself.
I've watched videos on that, thinking that that might be one of the issues I needed to tackle. But thankfully, it wasn't a problem.
You know what? That's one of the. I think a dryer belt was one of the things I was able to find locally, because as long as you just get the right size.
Right.
They're pretty much, yeah. I think I got a dryer belt at either Lowe's or Home Depot.
I expect they're fairly forgiving on the size, too. With
right.
The tensioner.
Yeah, you can yeah, I think mine, the closest I could find was like maybe an inch larger than it should be or something like that. It was like an inch difference. And the tensioner, you know, is what did it there. I don't know if anybody else. I figured Joel is showing up shortly.
Was he going to be late again?
He's always late. I didn't hear anything from Dave. He didn't make it last week because of his daughter's gallbladder surgery.
Well, my signal seems to be cutting in and out a little bit because of where I'm at.
I mean, you sounded fine. Just a little popping and cracking occasionally, but other than that, it sounds fine. Doot, doot, doot. I'll give Joel another minute or see if anybody else shows up another minute and I'll start the show. But the Joe and Dan show.
Right.
There we go. Has the weather, the temperature been creeping up there?
In the 90s, creeping.
Yeah. It was 92 today.
Oh, the heat index today was 100.
Good. Oh, there you go. Now you're getting into the proper weather, right?
This might end up being the Dan and Jackie show for a little bit. I might hand it off to her.
What's wild is it was 92 today was the high of 92. And then tomorrow it's going to be back down to like 79.
Oh, you got the what rain coming in or something?
I'm supposed to have rain tonight.
I think we're supposed to get some showers, but I don't think it's actually going to cool anything off.
Yeah, it looks like we're stuck going between 68 and 79 for the next. Actually, yeah, it's going to go down to 68 on Friday and then 68 and 78 for the next week in between. Ay, ay, ay. Ah. Alright, let's see. This is episode 151. Is it 151? Did I move all the stuff?
So, yeah, last show would have been 150.
What? No Dave 68?
I guess not. Maybe still tending to his daughter. Did you get were you included on that email last week, Joel? That his daughter had her gallbladder surgery last week.
Probably not.
Okay, so that's why he wasn't here.
Right.
Oh, so it was just you two?
Yeah,
it was just us two.
It was the Joelie show.
Please.
Or as Murph says, the Linux Link Stapler Show.
That's right. Did you fix it?
I'll talk about that on the show, man. I don't want to spoil the good stuff. Okay, you know what? We're going to start the show. If Dave shows up, he shows up.
Wow.
Wow, what?
You don't have to wait for me, man.
Of course we do. We care.
Oh, all right. Thank
you. Not that much.
Yeah, let's fire this off. This is episode 151. It is 151, right?
McCarty? Oh.
Yeah.
What, you got some, man?
No.
Yeah, I don't want any. Last time I had that, I got drunk as heck.
Oh, Bacardi 151.
Yeah.
Yeah, last time I had that, I probably got really, really, really. But got that's ripped. Been probably like 20 years or so.
30.
30 years ago, I would have been too young to drink. Not that that would have stopped me, but, you know, 12 is a little young for the Bacardi.
The first time I had a rum and coke was in a bar in Westendorf, Austria. And they brought it out like it was a glass of coke and a shot of rum. And I was like, I didn't know I was like, kind of like, wait, what is this? Why isn't it together? Because I had worked at the restaurant, and when you order a rum and a coke, they just bring it to you already mixed. And so it was like a little, I wasn't expecting that. And I think I just drank the rum and then chased it with the coke.
Makes you happy.
Yeah. And then we were rolling in the street after that. All right, let's go. This is episode 1051. 1051.